in residential buildings, which they had previously warned about and threatened. But there were other areas which they targeted where there was absolutely no prior warning. And those are residential buildings, as we know, and not areas, as opposed to what the Israelis are saying, that these are areas for Hezbollah. The Israelis are also pounding the areas, the border towns, especially in the vicinity or adjacent to Adaisi and Farkila, and as well as Ait Ashab. Those are areas where there's a very heavy shelling. Also on the plains of Khiyam, seemingly that area is being carpet bombed by the Israelis completely to make sure that they have the ground ready for a ground invasion. However, it seems that Hezbollah's fighters have been quite alert on the border, and especially in the area that is facing the Adaisi town. Hezbollah declared in their last statement that the early hours of the morning, Hezbollah was able to detect one of the Israeli units that attempted to infiltrate and enter Lebanese territory. They said that they confronted that force and they clashed directly with that force, leaving many casualties among the Israeli soldiers. And so that, I think, proves that Hezbollah is ready on all sides, but also has the knowledge to know that the Israelis will be attempting incursions and where exactly they will be attempting them. And that is just one example of Hezbollah's readiness for a ground incursion. And they said that this is one of the biggest ground forces that attempted to enter. And this is in the settlement of Miskafam. And Hezbollah was able to target them with rockets, missiles, and artillery fire as well. We know from the Israeli media that many casualties had been taken through helicopters towards the Rambam hospitals and the Zif hospitals that are in Haifa and Safad. And they are talking about an exceptional incident that occurred in that area specifically. And they are talking about a big number of casualties. Of course, the Israelis have never really given a precise number of the casualties of their soldiers. But it seems that attempts to infiltrate Lebanese territory and to begin with these incursions seems to have begun. And we can say that this is probably the very first time since the beginning of the last offensive that Hezbollah engages in direct combat face-to-face clashes with the Israeli regime. Earlier, also, Hezbollah said that they launched an attack or they targeted another group of Israeli soldiers, another unit, which is in the settlement of Shtula, where they also said they were able to strike direct targets. They said they used a Burkan rocket. And because we know the Burkan rocket has a pretty heavy warhead, we can expect that there were some pretty heavy casualties among the Israeli soldiers and that unit specifically. Hezbollah also said that in the early hours of the morning as well, they targeted a group of soldiers in the Shumaira barracks with also the salvo rockets. This time they didn't mention exactly which one. Now also, there was another attempt to infiltrate the border towards Adaisi from the area of Khalat al-Mahafir, and that is where Hezbollah also said that they directly clashed with the Israeli soldiers and also inflicted heavy losses upon the Israelis. And so it seemed that Hezbollah, during this time in these last statements, was focused on the border. They are also, yesterday, well, they were launching a lot of rockets towards those settlements that were considered by the Israelis as closed military zones, where you have all the mobilization, all the Israeli vehicles and the tanks and so on that were focused in that area and perhaps ready, as they said, for a ground invasion. The Israeli aggressions continued in various areas all across Lebanon. The Lebanese Ministry of Health said that the latest number in the last 24 hours was 95 martyrs. And we can say that this is not, of course, the final number, because we always have, we still have martyrs underneath the rubble, especially with the fact that you have a great number of the martyrs is usually among the paramedics or the civil defense workers who are the main rescue teams and the units that assist with the rescue efforts and also with the lifting of the rubble and even the transportation of the injured, which would also lead to more casualties among the civilians if they are not treated quickly. And there, of course, the city of Nabatieye was under heavy bombardment. Also, the Israelis shelled several areas in the city of Nabatieye. And as we've noticed in the last 2-3 days, the Israeli shelling is not specified into one region, as we saw, for example, in 2006, where the focus was more on all of South Lebanon and all of the southern suburbs of Beirut. The carpet bombing those areas, especially the border towns and also the southern suburbs of Beirut, on a daily basis, there was a group of residential buildings that were taken down. Now we see that there isn't a specific place which could be safe. For example, yesterday when they targeted 2 residential buildings in the area of Bir Hassan, and that one of those strikes was directly adjacent to one of the main hospitals in Beirut, and also was very close to one of the biggest governmental hospitals as well, the Rafiq Hariri Hospital. And so that means that the Israelis will not be stopping at whether they are targeting an area where there are hospitals, where there are civilians, where there are residents. And we also saw that there were a big portion of the people after these strikes that were near those drone strikes, they left the area altogether. And that adds to the number of the displaced. And we have many people who still do not have shelter. They do not have anything over their heads. There have not been any sort of efforts, for example, to make tents or certain camps for those people who have not been provided a house or any shelter. And of course, the Lebanese government is doing its efforts in bringing in these displaced to the centers that are open, either the public schools or the centers that are from other associations providing, for example, their headquarters or even universities, private universities that have said and declared that they will open their doors for the people to stay in, at least to have a roof over their heads, since the situation is getting worse and worse, and we're getting closer to fall and winter. And so this could definitely exacerbate the humanitarian crisis here in Lebanon. You know from Lebanese authorities that the assistance that has been given to Lebanon up until now is very minimal. There has not been extensive efforts and humanitarian efforts to come and assist Lebanon in such a case, except for very few places like Iraq and the Islamic Republic of Iran. And the fact that there is the border of Syria, that is the only relief for many people who are able to travel. Those who do have, for example, double nationalities or able to go to other countries where they can provide with them a haven, provide safe haven for them, like Iraq, for example. Many of them went by buses through the border of Syria towards Iraq, perhaps to find some shelter and some safe haven until this war, of course, continues. Now, yesterday, there was so much promise and so much confidence in the retaliation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And there was people were also surprised to see the extent of the retaliation. People have been hoping that there will be a retaliation for the, of course, the assassination of the head of the political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, but they also hope that this retaliation would include the retaliation for the assassination of Hezbollah Secretary General Zayed Hassan Nasrallah. But even the Lebanese did not expect that it would be that massive and that great, and that it would be that surprising to the Israelis that the rockets from the Islamic Republic of Iran, and although perhaps they did not reach all the areas, but the fact that they flew over every single inch, approximately, of the occupied territories, that in itself is a clear message that the Islamic Republic of Iran can target and perhaps even destroy vast areas within the center and the heart of the Israeli regime's occupation, as well as all the territories that it has occupied And so that was considered a very heartwarming for the Lebanese people, especially since we are in a state of war. Even a funeral has been denied, and bidding farewell to the Secretary General, Hezbollah Secretary General. Hezbollah is something that has been an issue that the Lebanese cannot do, and so they will continue in this light, in light of this war. It seems that it's almost impossible to perhaps hold a funeral, to bid farewell, or to even mourn, actually. And this is why that strike yesterday, that retaliation, seemed to be vast and to the extent that really proved the potential that we can see from the Islamic Republic of Iran if the Israelis do continue with their violations. Now, there is, of course, some speculations of whether the Israelis will maybe retaliate or respond in some way, but the Israelis have, based on experience with them, they have not engaged openly and boldly the Islamic Republic of Iran. It has been only done through what observers say only cowardice attempts of malicious acts that are done in a manner where they do not even declare responsibility, something similar to what they did with the explosion of the pagers and the walkie-talkies. That was not declared openly by the Israeli military, making it one of its usual malicious means of targeting the Lebanese people and Lebanese civilians, as we saw, for example, even in the past decades, and all the covert operations conducted by the CIA and a lot of other operations conducted by the Israelis. The Israelis did not declare their responsibility for the assassination of a former military commander, Ahmad Mughni, until very recently. We heard from an official who was not in power, and perhaps had the ability to speak, because we can see now that there is total blackout on the media, even on the Israeli media itself, on what exactly happened, the damages that occurred. But the fact that with their defenses going malfunctioning in the manner that they have in the past, this has led to many being able to see the rockets that were flying over all of Palestine. We saw the footage coming out from Gaza, as well as the West Bank, the celebrations from the people of Palestine, saying that for once they are seeing that there is a power, they have a support, they have that backing when the Israelis can be under this type of attack, just like they were continuously launching their aggression and their genocide on Gaza, their aggression on Lebanon, without impunity. Now they see that there is a side that can punish this bloody regime.
Right, and Mariam, staying with you, let's talk about the massive support that we're seeing right now for Iran's operation, the support that Iran has received for exposing Israel's myth of invincibility, not once but twice, minus the U.S. and other accomplices of the Israelis. Almost all regional countries have expressed support for what Iran has carried out.
Well, first of all, the Islamic Republic of Iran made it clear. This is a right, this is an international right to defend itself, and with all the claims, the double standards coming out from the Western world and statements coming out from former British officials and so on, but then you hear them when they are asked the question, if your embassy or your country was under that threat, wouldn't you strike back? And their answer would be yes. And so that really uncovers not only the invincibility of the Israeli regime itself, but also the fact that there is this clear double standards, that they continue to use the word self-defense for the Israeli regime, which is an occupation state, the only occupation state that exists today. And any side, any country that is under threat from this Israeli regime, that is targeted, where they have aggressions, where they kill innocent women and children, they are not allowed to defend themselves, to defend their independence, to defend their sovereignty. And that also uncovers all of these lies that they've been trying to show to the world for they're trying to show themselves as independent, as democratic, as being protectors of human rights. Now we see the total opposite. All the talk that we heard from the U.S. officials, also the British Prime Minister, that was very clear to show that they did not denounce the violation of Iranian sovereignty. They just called that we do not want escalation. That was their statement then. But now, after Iran proved that it can defend itself, that it will be able to do so in a much more massive term. We know that last night's strike was double in size of what it was in the first time, and the first time was considered only a message for the Israelis. And the fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran also once more stressed that it was targeting military targets only, and not areas where, of course, which could be residential, as opposed to what the Israelis have been doing, is also very significant. It is the international right of the Islamic Republic of Iran to retaliate as such. Now, when we talk about the invincibility of the Israeli regime, the mere fact that we know now from statements from the U.S. officials saying that they assisted the Israelis in intercepting or maybe detecting the rockets being fired from Iran or launched from Iran towards the Israeli regime targets, that also proves that it is weak. It requires that assistance from the greatest military in the world, the strongest maybe military in the world. We also know that the Jordanians assisted in the attempts to try to detect and intercept some of the rockets coming from the Islamic Republic of Iran. There is also a possibility, as we saw in the first round. The first round was even more extreme and showing and uncovering the extent of the weakness of this regime. It required at least five other countries to detect and to try to intercept those rockets or the drones coming from the Islamic Republic of Iran. And despite all those efforts, the Islamic Republic of Iran's drones and rockets were seen over the skies of Al-Quds. And so that is a very significant development, that even with all the assistance it had from all of these countries, the rockets still reached their area. Amateur videos also show. So we saw the videos coming out, which the Israelis would want to, of course, ban. They would not want anyone to show the extent of the casualties. And we know for a fact that all the areas which are military, which the Islamic Republic of Iran has targeted, have been cordoned off quite a while ago. And there's absolutely no images that can come out of that area and show the extent of the damage that was done towards the military bases and the military sites of the Israelis. And so we can see the fact that they need to hide, they need to lie, they need to not talk about any details regarding this this issue that proves that they are in a state of weakness. And also experts have stressed that the potential and the abilities that the Islamic Republic of Iran has is what they have done is nothing compared to what they do have or what they can do to the Israeli regime. So that also is another warning. It is a retaliation. There were specific strikes, but the fact that we have those rockets falling on all over all the areas, for once, I think, in the history of the Israeli regimes, since its onset, since its occupation of Palestine, there were sirens sounding in every single area in all of occupied Palestine. That also is telling, but the Islamic Republic of Iran deliberately did not target all of the areas. They were still sending another warning, still giving that perhaps...
Okay, Mariam, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in there. Mariam Saleh, our correspondent, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. We're also now going to bring in academic and political analyst Nazia Saleh, who's also with us from the Lebanese capital. Ms. Saleh, welcome to the program. I want to get your initial thoughts regarding the recent anti-Israeli retaliatory operations that were carried out by Iran. Under Article 51 of the UN Charter, Iran had the right to carry out this operation in self-defense. That has been stressed many times by Iranian officials, including the Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi as well. This was a proper and justified response, wasn't it?
Yeah, hello, and thank you for having me. Yes, this Security Council articles was made only against us. As we see, if we defend ourselves, they say, no, you don't have to defend yourself. Israel has the right to defend itself. They attack us, when Israel killed women and children, nobody showed. We don't see the British spokesman, or we don't see the Pentagon spokesman go out and speak about our right to defend ourselves. And we don't see them even just raise a voice to say the civilians is a red line. Always Israel killings, been killing for 1 year. We don't see them talking about our rights. Always, when we harm, when somebody defend itself and harm Israel a little bit, they show up and they start, oh my God, oh look, Israel has been attacked and Israel has the right to defend itself. Only defending itself for Israel. This concept only for Israel. What happened yesterday that Iran used its right for retaliate on the assassination of Haniyeh and also for the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. And also the resistance is doing the same, bombing inside Israel with very advanced missiles and harming the Israeli. So that's why we see the UN, Security Council, always talking about Israel defending itself. The problem is that we have around us those Arab countries that we were waiting for them to wake up, to see. For 1 year, they didn't see these massacres that Israel did. Like the Jordanian, they use their defense air base to protect Israel. And the other Gulf countries, they don't talk, they don't say any, issue any statements against Israel, what they did. They are happy and they are waiting for Israel to demolish everyone, to finish Lebanon and Hamas and Iran. But now, when Iran is, now is retaliated, it's a country, it's a regime. It's not a party of a or a organization like Hezbollah and Hamas. They are dealing now with a country has the right, and it's a member in the United Nations, and they cannot just open their right to attack Iran. But what it did Iran yesterday, it was very helpful for those oppressed people, for the resistance in the region, for Hezbollah and Hamas. And also the Yemeni is doing very well in this case, and the Iraqis resistance also. The double standard always, we see it always, and everyone is seeing this. It's obviously very, very clear that the United States and Britain are both of them are partnered with Israel in killing us. So now we don't say Israel is attacking us, and we say the USA and the British. So those three countries, they are allied, and they want to finish Hezbollah, and they are dreaming of make victory over Iran, but they are mistaken because Iran is a strong country. It's now it's more advanced, despite of the sanctions that they use it against Iran. But the Iranian people are very, very strong, and they are aiming to finish and to continue this development that they start with. And Sayyid al-Qaeda Ali Khamenei is existing and always encouraging the Iranian people to work more and more hard to be more advanced, and supporting all the resistance movement in the region. Despite of the of these casualties and those, a lot of people died and a lot of building demolishes in Lebanon or in Gaza, but the people, they have a hope of victory in the future. The people are saying it's okay if our houses will gone or we lose some of our families, but at the end, we are going to win, inshallah. They put their hope in Allah. Inshallah, the victory will be here in the region for those oppressed people.
Right, and also on the bottom right hand of the screen, which you're now displaying in full, is the Lebanese capital, Beirut, where you can see plumes of smoke arising to the air as the Israeli attacks and bombardments on Lebanese targets continue, and they have left, over the past week or so, several hundreds dead. Of course, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has been carrying out retaliatory attacks against Israeli military positions and settlements in northern occupied Palestinian territories as well, but the Israeli incessant bombing and indiscriminatory attacks continue, not just in Gaza as the genocide there continues, but the bombing of residential areas, flattening entire residential blocks in Lebanon, continues as well. In South Beirut, in South Lebanon, Hezbollah leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, who led the resistance movement for over three decades, was himself martyred after the Israeli regime forces bombarded a Beirut suburb using U.S.-made fighter jets and bunker buster bombs as well. And of course, for those of you who are just joining us, the Islamic Republic on Tuesday, it carried out its own anti-Israel retaliatory operations, firing dozens, if not hundreds, of ballistic missiles at key military and security targets in Israel in response to the regime's regional aggression, including the deadly attacks on Gaza and Lebanon, as well as the killing of senior Hamas, Hezbollah, and IRGC leaders. Nazia Saleh is joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, to offer us more insight on the current situation in the region. Ms. Saleh, let's step away a moment from the anti-Israeli operations carried out by Iran and focus on what's taking place right now in Lebanon. Israel is bombing hospitals, it's bombing clinics, medical personnel, residential buildings, just like it did in Gaza. Many are saying that it's basically the same playbook that the Israelis carried out in the Gaza Strip, and now it's unfolding in Lebanon as well. I want to get your thoughts on the crimes that the Israelis are committing against the Lebanese, and whether you think that the international community has learned its lesson from being silent for the past year, and it will not allow another Gaza massacre and Gaza genocide to unfold in Lebanon.
Unfortunately, we don't see that the international community or the international law now is stopping Israel or willing to stop Israel. Israel is the spoiled child for those organizations, for the UN and for USA and for Britain. So like a spoiled child does whatever it wants. Yani. Nobody stopped her, nobody harmed her, nobody said, don't do this and don't do that. We don't know yani, what kind of politics now in the world. The politics now is yani, the science of politics now in the whole world has been ruined by this kind of acting with Israel. Those all the strong, the big countries in the United Nations, who they are controlling the United Nations, the five big countries, they can do anything against Israel. Even yani, Russia, we know that we are allied with Russia, and China is not our enemy. Yani, both of them, China and Russia, we are in good term with them. But they did nothing. They did nothing to stop Israel, because United States of America is more stronger than them in the United Nations Security Council. It's yani, United States is governing the whole world, even Russia and China. They don't dare to stop Israel. This is small regime here in the Middle East called Israel. Nobody can stop this regime. It's something weird. This it has nothing to say, but that they are all agreed with Israel. If they don't agree with Israel, they should have stopped her from 1 year ago. What we saw in Gaza, this is against the humanity, of course, and everybody saw it on camera. Yani, nobody could hide it. And Israel tried to hide these crimes, but it couldn't, because everyone has camera and shooting, and the social media was spreading these pictures from hospitals, from Shifa and other hospitals. How are the children and newborn babies in the nursing room, and how they kill even newborn babies. And now they are trying to do the same here in Lebanon, because they have a green light. They have a green light. I can say it very clearly. All the countries, all those five, I'm insisting on those five big countries, they are members of the Security Council here in the United Nations. All of them are agreeing of what Israel is doing. If United States and the British and France, they are with Israel, but what about Russia and China? We raise the voice, what are you doing? United States and British, they win the war here in the Middle East, you will have nothing here in the Middle East. They will throw you up, and they won't let you have any interest here in the region, in the Middle East. They have to raise, they have to talk, they have to do something. I know that Russia has a war now with the Ukraine, that United States did it, and the NATO, against Russia, to weaken Russia, to not let her do anything, let her more developed or be strong country. But they can do anything, they do nothing. Where is China and the other Arab countries also? They just claim silent, and our people is being killed. Those are Muslims. I'm talking to the Gulf countries. They have money, and those money goes to the American, and they don't help even the people in Gaza to eat. They don't force the international community, international organizations to enter food for those in Gaza. They can do that because they have a lot of money, and who has money has power. Unfortunately, they don't use their power. They have the oil. They are very rich country, but they don't use it because the United States is occupying these countries in indirect way, not directly inside. So in Lebanon, it will be a different. If Israel wants to continue in Lebanon and do the same as it did in Gaza, I think it will be another result with Israel here. Because here in Lebanon, we have a strong resistance and well-equipped resistance here in Lebanon, and has open back. Yani, it's not surrounded yani, by, like Syria, for example. It has a road or route for to bring assistance or something like that. It's not like Gaza. Gaza is surrounded all around by the Israeli and the sea. So we have different cases here in Lebanon. I think it will lose Israel here, and they will be regretting if they continue the war with Lebanon. It's different results.
Ms. Saleh, as global support for Palestine and the resistance grows over the past few days, specifically following the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, parallel to this support, we're seeing the increased resentment also growing against Israel. And it's not just resentment against Israel, but it's also against those who have been supporting Israel and its genocide against Palestinians, namely the United States, who has basically given the Israelis a green light to carry out the massacres in Lebanon as well. So talk to us about the growing resentment that the Israelis and the Israeli camp are facing globally for the crimes that they're committing in the region.
I don't think that Israel will face any judgment from the international community, as I said, because everyone wants Israel to stay. And everyone is saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. Nobody said that we have, that the other people has the right to defend themselves. Only the power of the resistance will make the difference. International community,
right. Just to interrupt you for a moment there, Ms. Saleh. I agree with you with regards to what you're talking about. The international, countries still supporting the Israelis. That's the United States and their allies. But what I wanted to focus on was the global popular resentment that we're seeing from the people out on the streets across the world who've been showing their resentment towards the Israeli genocide in Gaza. We also saw the global demonstrations, people out on the streets celebrating Iran's retaliatory operations. That's the aspect that I wanted to focus on more.
Yeah, sure. The people, they want to liberate themselves in the West, in Europe, and the United Nations. The people, they are very different from their governments. Yeah, of course. Now, everyone in the whole world, they know the truth. As we saw last year, the demonstrations, it's happened in the whole world, especially in universities. The students, when they go out and talk about the right of Palestinians, before they used to say that Israel has the right to defend itself. But now, after they saw what's happened in Gaza, and they killed their children and babies, women, demolish houses, and don't let people eat, they're starving. Now, of course, the people, they know the difference now. But the question here, how much this is going to make a difference? You know, the Western, they are They are building their regimes in a way that they can protect themselves staying. It's very, very hard, for example, for coup d'etat in the United States or in any country in Europe. They did a kind of regime, kind of political system. They protect their system, their political regime. It's very hard for the people to change, but only they can voice and talk, only. This is good, this is important, but we are looking for a change here. We have to see something in application, in apply. Those people in all the countries, they are against their governments in supporting Israel. But only they can do demonstration. They can go out to the streets and raise voices and talking and say, Israel is a criminal. You have to stop the genocide.
Right.
You have to do so, so, and so, and so. But there is no power for those people to change the political decision for their countries, unfortunately.
Okay, let's bring in Professor of Globalization at, excuse me, at Lethbridge University, Mr. Anthony Hall, to offer some more insight on the recent developments in the region. Mr. Hall, welcome to the program. In your opinion, how successful was Iran's Operation True Promise 2 that was carried out against the Israeli regime on Tuesday? Also talk to us about the failure for the Israelis, which can no longer boast their military superiority. That goes for the U.S. as well, which cannot fully protect Israel against Iran's barrage of rockets.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. I must say that I'm watching a screen where what I'm seeing on the screen from Press TV has nothing to do with, you know, there's a disjoint between what is being said and what's on the screen. So I'll talk as if I can see you, and but I wonder, if can you hear me? Is everything all right? Am I on air?
Yes, you are, sir. I'm not sure what the problem is, but yeah, you can address the question that I just put forth, and that is Operation True Promise 2.
Yes, well, I see the pictures of it. I see it from different angles. Sometimes it seems that you know, there's a dazzling display of things going on in the sky. I see hits being made. I don't see any sign of the destruction of elements or parts of Tel Aviv. It's difficult for me to understand. I read something about some strikes near the airport, near a military airport. But I see this tremendous array of things going on in the sky and in the horizon. But from the perspective of within Tel Aviv, where the cameras are, I don't see any direct hits. So I don't know if this is meant as a demonstration of what could be done with a view to not kill large numbers of civilians, to take it incrementally as we've been seeing on the non-Israeli side. What I see on the Israeli side is complete bloody-minded willingness to kill and murder and go to great excess. Am I still seeing from Iran a sense of moderation, even though Tel Aviv is being hit? It seems to me that it's kind of like driving with one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake. I'm 10,000 miles away. I'm getting, you know, pictures of things. But to keep up on what all this means, I'm limited in what I, you know, what interpretation I can offer. I'd be happy for some response from the host to lead me in a direction that I can really speak with authority. I don't see how I can really speak with authority, but it seems to me it's a very strange response from Iran, given the provocations, given the long list of provocations and the long wait. And now what is this? Can anybody help me at that end?
Well, Mr. Hall, what I can help you with is read out the information that we've been giving throughout the day, where after Iran launched the missiles on Israeli targets in Tel Aviv, in a statement, the IRGC said that the response, of course, was for the Israeli assassination of Hezbollah leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, former Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh, IRGC commander Abbas Nil Furushan. They were carried out with 90%. Yeah, they were carried out with 90% accuracy. They hit their desired targets. They were military and security facilities as well. Only were targeted in these operations, and they warned, the IRGC basically has warned the Israeli regime of more severe retaliation in case it responds to the attack. So regarding the success rate of the operation that was carried out, the reports are indicating that maybe less than 10% of those missiles were intercepted. Israelis, of course, are notorious for covering up the damage that they take. That's been the case since the Gaza genocide started as well. But what I wanted you to weigh in on was, first of all, this issue of the United States fully being a part and parcel of fully protecting the Israeli regime. That has been exposed. And many are saying that these operations, True Promise 1 and True Promise 2, they do have the potential of changing many of the equations in West Asia. What do you think?
Well, in a certain way, it seems more of the same from the United States. I'm beginning to think that this whole operation was probably planned at the deep state level, you know, deeper than the White House and such, by Israel and the United States for a long time. It's been clear that the greater Israel, Eretz Israel project of Likud has been U.S. policy for a long time. The idea that the United States is merely complicit in this genocide. No, the United States is a partner in this genocide. This has been, you know, such a revelation about the lunacy, the weirdness of what is going on in the superpowers' cockpit, the White House, where you have a lame duck president and Kamala Harris, who is trying to be president, but she is still vice president. What is going on in the United States? It's sheer insanity. But what we have is essentially Israel running the United States as if it is the imperial power and the United States is the colony. Somehow the United States is in a subordinate position, supplying 85. I saw some literature saying that the bombs that hit where Hassan Nasrallah was, that complex, that huge complex, were between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. These weapons are unusual, 85 of these going into that structure. I don't see anything like that happening in Tel Aviv. I don't see any, mass murder of civilians taking place in Tel Aviv. So that's what I mean. There still seems to be a foot on the brake, an incrementalism that it doesn't correspond to how Israel is acting. Israel is behaving. Israel and the United States together are behaving. So it's, in a sense, more of the same, but the ante keeps being raised. The stakes keep being raised. As I saw that display of all that technology over Tel Aviv earlier today, I thought this is a major transformation in the state of the world right now. There is going to be a very dramatic response from U.S. Israel, that partnership.
Okay, let's cross over now to Ms. Nazia Saleh in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Ms. Saleh, I'm not sure if you were listening to Mr. Hall's assessment of the situation. Do you agree with what was just expressed? Do you think that there will be a major response, in the words of Anthony Hall, from the United States and the Israeli regime? Or Could it be the other way around? And could the United States specifically be thinking at this point that trying to attack Iran, it would have massive repercussions, and it basically could be out of the question at this point?
Yeah, of course. I heard, what did he say, I guess? Of course, the United States of America is committed to defend Israel in all ways, in all kinds. As he said, that the kind of destructions, the bombs that Israel is using, it's nothing comparing to what the resistance is doing and what Iran is doing against Israel. And it's still the resistance and the Islamic Republic of Iran, using a very moderate kind of weapons. They don't go very strong. They don't use mass destruction weapons, bombs, as Israel did. Especially when it bombs the Beirut to assassinate Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. I think we should go more stronger against Israel. We should hit more stronger. We have the abilities, as we know that the resistance has very advanced weapons, and Iran has very advanced weapons, but they didn't use it till now because they don't want to be the first who start the maybe world war, another world war. Everybody's talking about we might have a World War III. So they don't want to be the one who started this. But Israel is always, and the United States, of course, those bombs who killed Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, they are American. They are not Israelis. We don't see that the Israelis, they are very smart. The Israeli by themselves only, they are very advanced people. They are smart. They have a lot of advanced weapons, and they have a lot, very good minds to create things. They are dumb people. We know them, those people. They are very dumb. But the United States is the one to help this state. Israel is a base, it's a military base for the United States here in the region. So everything is from the United States. We are fighting the United States, not Israel. Israel is a title. They just put it. Those Israelis, a small country, and those people, they are innocent, they have the right to defend themselves. So they are criminals. They teach their children inside the school that the non-Jews, they are animals, but God make them like a human from outside, just for us, so we don't feel that disgusting or something like that. So our war is with the United States. So now Iran, it's very, very hard for Iran now. If Iran decided to use very advanced weapon as Israel did, because the United States is waiting for Iran, for any mistake from Iran, to to destroy Iran, and they don't dare to use the nuclear weapon, as they did in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They did it before, so they can do it now. Those people, they are non-human. They prove that they are non-human, but they wear the clothes from outside as a human. They killed in South Africa, they killed in South America, they killed everywhere in Asia, and they force the countries in the region here in the Gulf who they have money to be with them. So they are afraid, those Gulf countries, they are afraid. That's why they said to America, yes, okay, we obey you. What do you want? Okay, be in good relationship with Israel, and I will protect you. That's how they do now. the Arab countries, unfortunately. Yeah, it's very hard now. If we will open the war, it will be an international war, world war. We don't know in this case if Russia and China will enter the war or will stay aside. Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. Allah, only Allah will help now the region.
Right, and for those of you just joining us, we have on the bottom of your screen the Yemeni Army spokesman Yahya Sarai will be making a statement shortly, so we'll be cutting to that whenever it commences. Staying with Ms. Saleh in Beirut, of course, we know Iran's missile strike against Israel. It sparked massive celebrations across the region. Hundreds took to the streets to express their support for Tehran's operation. We saw crowds in Lebanon, in Iran as well, Palestine, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, hundreds gathered to mark the occasion. Please talk to us more about these celebratory demonstrations in support of Iran's operations. And what does that actually show in the region towards the support for the resistance and the resentment against the Israeli occupiers? Ms. Saleh?
Sorry, I thought that question for the other guest.
No, that was for you.
Can you repeat the question, please?
So, yeah, I want you to talk about the celebratory demonstrations that we saw following Iran's retaliatory operations. We saw the celebrations taking place across the region. They took place in Palestine, Iraq, Jordan, Syria. What does it say about the support for the resistance front and the resentment against the Israeli occupiers?
Yeah, of course, Iran is the main country that, and the only country maybe it helps the resistance in the region, especially in Palestine. Last night, when we saw the Palestinians in Gaza, they are celebrating, they are shooting the pictures from the missiles that hit the Israelis' base. They were very happy, yani, despite of their yani, their problem, they were very, very happy. So we cried when we saw them yesterday. We saw the people in Gaza because they were very happy. Yes, those people, the oppressed people in the region, they have the only hope is Iran. They don't have any other countries to help them. So Iran gave those oppressed people the hope. Since Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, came after the revolution and promised the Palestinians that today is Iran, tomorrow is Palestine. I mean the liberation. So people, they build hope on his word. And his word was applied for true. They helped all the resistance. The resistance has been building itself since 40 years. The resistance is building itself.
All right, I'm just being told by the control room we're going to interrupt the normal course of programming to go live as a statement is being read out by the Yemeni Army spokesperson, Yahya Sarai. Let's listen in.
Bayanun sadirun anil quwwat al-musallahat al-yamaniya. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala ta'ala: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. صدق الله العظيم. انتصارا لمظلومية الشعبين الفلسطيني واللبناني ودعما للمقاومتين الفلسطينية واللبنانية، نفذت القوة الصاروخية في القوات المسلحة اليمنية عملية عسكرية استهدفت مواقع عسكرية في عمق الكيان الصهيوني في فلسطين المحتلة، وذلك بثلاثة صواريخ مجنحة نوع قدس خمسة. وقد تمكنت الصواريخ من الوصول إلى أهدافها بنجاح وسط تكتم العدو عن نتائج العملية.
So we're listening to a statement being made by the spokesman for the Yemeni Armed Forces.
Have congratulated the continuous strike against the Israeli regime and stress that there needs to be joint operations against the Israeli enemy in support of the Palestinian